time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for November 14th. It's our 22nd anniversary. Woo! Whatever that means, our 22nd birthday. That is crazy. Holidays today, real quick, we get to it and get to the cast and crew of the show. Holidays today is Hindu Diwali Day. I'm not really sure what that means. Operating Room Nurse Day. Who can't go for an operating room nurse, you know? And World Diabetes Day. Birthdays today, real quick. La Parca is 55, and that's not L.A. Park. That's La Parca. He's 55 today. WWE trainer and former superstar A-Train Matt Bloom is 48, and Kalisto is 34 today. He is a current WWE superstar, I believe. Kalisto, yeah, he's one of the... Is he? Look at that. I see everyone's eyes rolling. Yeah, okay, I get a head shake. He is. Okay. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Light Empire at Culver. Very cool of them to be with us the entire time we've been on the air. And that Soccer Sam's right hand made this great, cool video that I posted today on social media. If you check it out, just a little 5-second commercial for the Pain Clinic. It's pretty cool. Hey, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater, officiate Rock City Roller Derby? Needs you? Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's the Flower City Fear. That's F-L-O-U-R, and you can find them at flowercityfear.com. And we're always looking for volunteers. Unfortunately, we're all shut down because of COVID right now, but we will be back. I promise you that. I am, as I said, your humble host, the Cashman. I'm going to introduce you to the cast and crew of the show today. We are joined this week by, of course, Danger Boy. How are you doing this morning, Danger?
I'm doing well. I'm currently trying to switch from my phone to my computer. That's giving me a hassle. So
yeah.
Hopefully I'll be looking a little better here shortly.
Okay, if you disappear and come back, man, we'll understand why. Right to your left is Furby. What's up, Furbs?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm back this week.
Yeah.
Glad to be a part of the Pain Clinic.
Our 22nd birthday, our 22nd anniversary, whatever it might be. DC Dan Cole from North Carolina joining us this week. DC, that's 2 weeks in a row. You're making a habit of this, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know if I can keep this up. It's exhausting. And is it bad that when you mention Kalisto, I don't think of any good in-ring action. I think of the interview where he talked about a good lucha thing.
Yeah, well, you know what? A lot of people might remember him for a lot of his work, but Kalisto... They might remember him for that. That's for sure. We've got the Artiste joining us. Good morning or good afternoon. Good morning, Mr. Artiste.
It's good morning. Good to be here on time this morning. So it's weird being still, a teenager, even though the show is 22 now, something like that. Yeah. We're not all getting old.
No, actually, we're one year into our of age now. So we are one year past the drinking age, and we have a special guest in the studio with us this week. It's a man you might remember from the show named Murph. It's Murph. Murph, what's up, buddy?
Oh man, it's nice to finally get off my trampoline because I'm finally booked for the first time in 9 years.
Yeah, Dennis Stanton.
I put on some pants. You know, nobody can give Buddy a better match than me.
Oh, Buddy, yeah, he misses you. Yeah, we all miss you, man. It's great to have you back. It's nice to catch up. 22 years, you were a good 10 of that, so you were at least 10.
Probably. Oh, yeah, no, I'm glad to be back. Like, I think even Bret Hart was only 8 between appearances in the WWE, but, hey, you know, I've been climbing Mount Rushmore and going to parts unknown and drinking from the seeds of distracity. So you know how that goes.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And speaking of drinking, I saw one just get tipped up by Danger. So Danger's moving around his room and everything. So, hey, we're here to not only talk about the world of wrestling, but also to celebrate 22 years on the air on Fox Sports 1280. And couldn't have done it without our good friend Soccer Sam and Salvatore's, you know, and if it wasn't for those guys, we wouldn't be here. But they're here and we're here and we appreciate it. And we appreciate the listeners. Thank you so much. And, man, now he's got to get past this COVID-19 and the world will be a happier place. But I'm gonna do a little reminiscing sometime during the show. We're going to have a special guest in the next segment. And not really, not like a super-duper guest or anything, but one of the guys that was also on the show for many of these years. So that's right, Andrew the Authority. No. It's a... It could be, but it's not. So we will. I was just going to tease you a little bit, but Murph,
isn't tonight the 15-year anniversary of Soccer's A Kick in the Grass?
Something like that. It probably is something like that. But Murph, what have you been up to for the past 10 years?
You know, this, that, the other thing, just taking it easy. I've been working on my interpretive dance. I've been doing that over at the School for the Blind, so you know that's one thing I got going for me. And I'm trying to learn the difference between a wrist lock and a wrist watch, and just doing Murph things, baby. Trying to pay the bills. I've been trying to get over to Salvatore's. Have you had that My Boss Jerk Sauce?
I have not had that yet, but I've had the cotton candy.
The cotton candy is good. Sometimes I dip those cotton candy grapes from Wegmans in them and eat them, and then my taste buds just explode. But My Boss Jerk Sauce, and he got fired, so.
Well, I was going to say, My Boss Jerk Sauce, I hear about it in the commercials all the time, so he's not kidding around, folks. Has some good stuff.
I've been eating plenty of Salvatore's over the years, though, to keep the lights on. You know, I go in there and just make it happen and have some So I wish they'd bring back the big half moon cookie that Felicia used to bring us. That's the one big omission from the menu. But no, still listening, still enjoying. It's a different world. There's an AEW now, and there's like wrestling on every channel and every streaming service. And you know, last time I was there, shoot, I think we had TNA doing a 1.4 and getting hell for it. So it's a different world.
Oh, you're right, man. Wow, that's true. When you were back here and the WWE fans be like, you know, stomping all over TNA fans and everything. Oh, looks like our guest came a little bit earlier than it looks like a homeless guy in a car.
It's that damn Sasquatch.
It's a Sasquatch is showing up. Hey, Murph, you can't see the Sasquatch. He's not being mystery guest who just showed up. Murph can't hear you, but or can't see you, but he can certainly hear you. So you can certainly.
Is this like this is my life? Is that my dad?
No, that would be a miracle happening. That would
I'm
be,
calling from a. I'm calling from a spider hole in the middle of Iraq.
Oh, you got a Snickers bar and a clean pair of tighty whities?
I'm only going to make references from 2003.
nobody does look like he has a Disney princess being kidnapped in the back of whatever vehicle he's in.
Yes, it is the creepiest car seat I have ever seen.
Yeah. You just no want kidding. To... turn around and go, where to, Stephanie?
I got to tell you a funny story about Jay-Z. Now that we got Jay-Z and Murph together, there was a time on the show when we lost two of our co-hosts, and so it was Danger and I, and we were trying people out on the show. We're talking about 2002, maybe 2003, 2004. And we had 1 week, we had Murph contacted me. He was a student at SUNY Brockport. I believe also you had a wrestling superstar who was a student there at the same time as you. That is,
oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. He's now a Ring of Honor guy, but he's been in the studio. We had him in the studio about a year ago, maybe it was a little bit more than a year ago. That'd be Dalton Castle,
but, Ashley Remington.
Ashley. That's where he's going. Oh my god,
smooth sailing.
That's right. Oh my goodness. So we had Murph on, and then and of course the Artiste was in college, so we were really down a lot of people. So we had Murph come on, and then the next week we had Jay-Z come on and try out. Jay-Z's like, so I don't know how Jay-Z. How'd you find out about that?
Well, I can't remember. I think you said something about. I think it was flipped around. I think I was on before.
Oh, that's Murph. Right. You were on first, and then Murph was on second. Yeah.
because I remember hearing Murph and thinking, there's no way they're going to want me back on the show. This guy is just way too good.
You there, Jay-Z? Did we lose you? Suddenly he's
there you are.
Yeah, there you are.
I cut his cord. I can't accept praise. It's my Catholic guilt.
You're doing
no. It was one of those things where it was right after Rey Mysterio came back, and you clearly could tell that he was off the gas. And Murph said something like, "I'm here, Rich. I'm covered. I'm flabby and covered in silver paint." And so I'd never forget that line. I was like, that instantly. I'm like, there's no way they're gonna want me on the show now. Murph is just way next level on the radio than I am.
Well, for a second there, I thought you were doing Al Franken in the remote, the satellite dish remote that he had hooked to his head. You know, you keep freezing up every once in a while. But so we had Jay-Z. Then the next week we had Murph, and it's like we couldn't decide. So we said, well, everybody, you know, kind of like Blazing Saddles. Never mind. I can't really refer that one, but. And so we brought both you guys in, and man, it was like magic. I think it really, you know, I mean, we had just some of the most belly laughs I've ever got in my life was during that period of time when we were like, you know, we'd interview Vince Russo, and then we'd get off the phone with him, and then we'd just ride him for freaking 15 minutes on the show, you know, you know, and things like
that. I remember wanting to not like Jay-Z, but he's just so dang likable, because I got that, old Western New York union ethic of like, no, we're not. And then it was like, man, this guy's too lovable. But I think the best part of that was pulling Christian on the butter people. Do you remember when he was going to be at the New York State Fair that time? He took a picture with Kurt Angle and no pants.
Yeah, the Kurt Angle and no pants.
Yeah. He's like, Rich is like, Kurt was like, surprised you're on pants off, dance off. And Rich is like, I didn't get the memo.
I will tell you, Christian was there at the same time. That's a week. That time we had him 2 weeks in a row because something, some sort of screw up happened, and they booked him a second week in a row. And Christian comes out and he goes, "Wasn't I just on this show last week?" And it's like, "Yeah, you know, but we can talk some more." So,
that was the dark ages where like there like, and that's the great thing about this show is it's a terrestrial radio show. Like even before you could hear it, shoot it, like. It was the Pain Clinic, live audio wrestling out of Canada, and like you had to pay for shoot interviews. You didn't have 95 podcasts on Westwood One. You didn't have all these other things. You really had to work for it. And there were times like where Sean Devari was on, and he thought he was talking to like a web show. And it was like, dude, you got to stop swearing. You're on the actual radio. And he's like, oh, sorry, brother, sorry.
Yeah, it happened with a few people. Wasn't Johnny Powers... Do you remember Johnny Powers from? He was
dropping S bombs because he in Canada you can.
Yeah, he could. Because he could say S bombs up in Canada, but you can't in America. You know what? We're gonna continue this conversation on the flip side. We do want to talk wrestling too as well, but I want to come back with a question I left you guys with when I sent the email out. And the question is I'm gonna go through each of you, the greatest interview you think that we had on the show. And we'll think about that as we go to break. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Make you sing along like the fans do on AEW, but you know, I don't know. I like it a little bit.
Pretty pedantic. Some of those folks still don't know all the words after all these weeks.
That's true. At least
some of those front row dark extras and stuff.
Is that what? There's actually some fans down there too. I believe you know they do have some fans in the place, but. I love the tune, by the way, and it's like, and I love how they stop. You know that now part of the Jericho coming out is them stopping that tune and letting people sing the chorus, which you know, it's probably the easiest part of the song to sing, I'm guessing. But welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Sorry.
I think they're doing a live stream concert tonight, too, if there's any big-time Fozzy fans. So. Oh,
that's cool. I knew that, well, they were supposed to be here in October. They were supposed to be here in July. They were supposed to be here in May. They're going to be here next May. So it's like, it's
2032.
Yeah, when we get past COVID.
At this rate.
It'll be COVID. We got to get past COVID-27 first. So we got a few more of those to go. But welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man. I'm joined by DC Dan Cole from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm sorry. North Carolina. It's not Charlotte. It's what'd you say it was again, DC?
If you want to be technical, it's Kernersville.
Kernersville.
But if you want to be more.
That doesn't sound like a real place. Say,
how about Winston-Salem?
Winston-Salem, the Ric Flair country. We got Furby.
My favorite cigarette.
We got Furby from Hilton, New York. Danger from Gates. Jay-Z, Caledonia, can I say? Or
That is correct. You can say Caledonia.
The Artistas in Rochester. And Murph, where are you right now?
Parts unknown. I'm in the witness protection program.
Parts unknown.
Like I tickled Bob Lansbury one day at Clear Channel, then suddenly it was iHeart and I was in the program.
so he's been gone a while, but one thing I threw out before we went to break, and you know, when you now listen.
Do you want to know where I am?
I'm curious. I know you're in New York someplace, I'm guessing.
I'm within shouting distance. I'm in Bath at my aunt's house. So it's funny. We were just talking about that sign 25 hours a day.
Yes.
That's what meth will do to you. It'll make you go 25 hours a day.
So, okay.
So will Taco Bell.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a few things. Like Kentucky Fried Chicken at times too. So let's get back to where we were teasing as we went to break for a second. And then we're going to talk, we will talk about Full Gear because it was a great pay-per-view last weekend. And we got Survivor Series coming up and not a lot of gigantic news. Some cool things going on like this. Like for instance, this weekend, we've got a special Impact show that's going to be streamed on the Impact Plus service, which it looks like a pretty cool show. If I had the Impact Plus service, I definitely would be watching it. But as we went to break, I said we were going to figure out our favorite interviews that we're involved with in the show. And usually I'm always to throw myself out first, but I'm going to go last. But I'm going to pick somebody first. Furby hasn't been here that long, so there's not been a lot of guests that we've had on the show. But Furbs, do you remember any interviews that would blow you away that we had?
Yeah, I was going to mention two guys. I won't be too long-winded here, but one of the most memorable guys, Dalton Castle, seeing him in character, you know, throughout the show was pretty awesome, and then being able to see him on TV. But to me, the neatest and coolest interview we had was Chris Harrington, actually. The man can talk. It was close when we were getting close to having AEW in Rochester. But that was a great interview and very well spoken.
Can I interject on Dalton Castle? That guy is as strong as he is talented because I used to weigh 410 pounds and he would walk me around the stage in Brockport at the atrium like nothing. So that dude is as strong as an ox.
Very cool. Okay, Danger. Danger, up to you next, Danger. Favorite interview. You've been here since the beginning as well.
I've been here one week less than you.
Yeah,
I wasn't on the first show, but I gotta say Roddy Piper when we had him up in the studio. Roddy Piper was awesome.
Roddy Piper pulled a red eye to come to Rochester to help out Camp Good Days and Special Times, and if it wasn't for Roddy Piper, that, you know, interesting fact. That was the last show that we had Andrew the Authority Joseph on as a cast member of the show because he quit right after that, which opened up the door for some other guys to join the show. So that was very instrumental. You know how things all come together like a plan. Yeah, exactly. Like Mercy hands are moving.
We love that when that happens.
Yeah. Okay, Jay-Z. Jay-Z.
I don't remember specific interviews as much as specific moments from interviews. Like getting to ask Jim Cornette about that famous viral video of him at the drive-thru was always fun, especially because he had to edit for language. That was fun. And Let me think. There was also a time I got to ask J.J. Dillon what Ole Anderson's problem was. That was fun.
Yeah.
And the best one, the best one that I had, that like moment that I remember is when Danger Boy mispronounced fruit to Jericho, and Jericho lit into him. That was pretty fun too.
Oh, that's right.
But the one that I hold near and dear to me is, you know, Caledonia native Matt Capitelli. Every time we had him on, he was always very gracious, and you know, he's no longer with us. So it's special to know that we had conversations with him all through his time, even before and after his career was cut short. And he was a great interview, and he's a great guy. So, you know, been thinking about him because today's his birthday.
Yeah, so. I saw that. Happy birthday, Mr. Matt Capitelli. So, Artiste, Mr. Artiste. You know, Artiste probably is a guy. He's a clear head thinking, so he probably remembers so many more, you know, like the Chad Colliers, when we had Chad Collier in the studio, or the time we had Brody Lee and Colt Cabana side by side in the studio. Or even, you know, I mean, we've, you know, I like in studio ones, but Rob, what do you think? Who do you?
It's tough. Like my memory's not that good. I mean, especially we're talking back. I started calling into the show in 98 or 99. I joined the show in 01. A lot of those early shows, I was also thinking of, one of the times that Capitelli came into the studio when Brody was, or actually when Rico was a co-host.
Oh, yeah.
Sounded like him. I don't know. I think back to, I remember the first interview I set up for the show was Percy Pringle, was Paul Bearer, and he couldn't have been nicer. And I loved that interview way back in the day.
Yeah, it was WrestleMania weekend. Remember, it was WrestleMania weekend, and he was great. He talked about all that stuff, that, you know, all the great behind-the-scenes stuff. It was great.
I think back, now, in my old age, I've done quite a few interviews in my life, you know, more in hockey now for me. But the first one I ever did with anybody by myself in person was Lita at the old WWF Niagara Falls. So fond memories of that. Hulk Hogan in Canada, Piper in the studio you mentioned. I mean, the in the studio ones were always just so much fun. A different dynamic there, but Steve Austin comes to mind over the phone, Jim Ross, you know, back in the day. There's a lot of them. I'd love to look through a list sometime, because I'm sure there's plenty that aren't coming to mind. But, I mean, pretty much everybody was on the show over the years. So,
okay, what about you, DC?
I've had a lot of time to think, so I'm actually going to throw out three. One, just because my all-time hands-down favorite wrestler, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, getting to talk to him was just a huge moment for me. And then I also have to throw out an in-studio interview we had, probably the most surreal moment of my life, having three WWE Hall of Famers, Coco Beware, Tito Santana, and Greg the Hammer Valentine in studio all at once, was just an amazing moment. And then another favorite interview of mine is not a wrestler, but a man we got to know through wrestling, the former live event coordinator for TNA, Mr. Craig Jenkins.
That's right.
Yeah, that was one of the, he is one of the greatest guys I've had the pleasure of meeting through this show and through the love of professional wrestling.
Jenkins, you can't beat any of the times we had that guy. Well, it's a Murph. Did I already go to you, Murph?
You can talk about the Jenks, man, though. I love the Jenks.
Yeah. I was going to say Jenks was, he was, you know, and he's still out there, too. And I see him on Twitter all the time. He just doesn't have anything to do with wrestling. He works in hockey now, which is interesting. You know, he works in hockey out, really? I think out in Portland, Oregon. He's out that way, out on the East West Coast. Promotions manager for a hockey team. And if that guy has, who can forget all the nicknames everybody got when we were hanging around with him. And, you know, and he sent people off to buy beer. Was it you, Murph, that had to go buy the beer?
No, it was White Thunder.
White Thunder.
White Thunder.
but he had to go pay in Canadian.
He had to pay in Canadian, too. Yeah. Oh, man.
The Jenks, man, he was an American original. Like, he just, oh my God, dude. And he had that trait about him, like, and not to, I'm saying this as an individual, not as a political statement. They say Bill Clinton, like, if he met you in 1984, remembers your mother's name. Like, Jenkins was like that. He's like, hey, baby, how's that job going over at the Walmart? And it's like, well, it still sucks, Craig, but thanks for remembering. We hit so much fun. And Orlando Jordan picking up young dudes. And
oh, yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. And Jeremy Borash totally flooring a bartender by leaving a $20 tip. You would have thought you had just won the lottery.
I know.
Oh, my
then
God.
Then we got that story. You left this behind. He's like, no, that's for you. That's a tip. She goes, the whole thing.
$20 is a lot of money in that particular area. So, yes, yeah, $20. Bucks.
We got that story. That story about the road dog almost flipping out because he wanted an advance on a corn dog machine for him and Ryan Killing.
No, you're close.
If the road dog and R-Truth want a corn dog, you give it to them.
You were close, but so Murph, all the time you were here, anyone stick out like, you know, just being the ultimate one?
So I'm going to take from my all-time favorite student teacher, DC. I got three. I'll give him a short and quick and sweet. Okay. Ox Baker, because he stayed in character, and he was unflappable even at 74 years old, and he was going with all that, like, y'all love dating girls with smelly breath and blah, 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 but he was awesome.
He was.
Jesse Ventura.
Oh, my goodness.
He had, like, the most gangster line ever dropped on the show when we asked him about Eric Massa. He goes, Eric Massa was in the Brown Shoe Navy. I was in the Red Water Navy. So, like, and there was this series of interviews with a comely young blonde from Louisiana by the name of Taryn Terrell.
Taryn Terrell.
That was in the beginning, man. I was trying to be a wingman.
Yeah, man.
Oh my God.
What was her line? Suck the head, eat the tail, or something? She's talking about crawfish.
I've got that ID someplace. Yeah, she Taryn Terrell. Who can forget her? She was a breath. She took away your breath, and also we found her wrapped in Saran wrap online, and it was hard not to image her after seeing.
Keep going.
Yeah, she was completely naked, but wrapped in Saran wrap.
Then I asked Colin Delaney if she ever asked about me on long car rides, and he's like, no.
You guys are gonna go get pizza together. Remember, you had a pizza date with her.
Hey, it's still standing. I don't care if she's a mother with four kids in Trium, Louisiana, like, so is Britney Spears. I'll still take her out.
Cool. Well, you know,
we still have the standing invitation to go do yoga in Toronto if the artiste get the damn restraining order dropped.
It was Trish Stratus there, of course. Yeah, that was a
Murph
fun.
Murph also had a close encounter with one amazing or an awesome Kong.
In a Barco lounge.
She was totally out of character, too.
Yeah, sitting in a recliner in Elmira, which is like as good as it gets in Elmira. But
yeah, they were giving away the recliner that you guys were sitting in. So yeah, I have like a couple real quick ones. And man, I know we're running along in this segment, so I'll go real quick. Jeremy Borash, always a friend of the show. Love Jeremy Borash. He hooked us up. I got to see him with Ring of. I got to see him with NXT that last time they were in Buffalo back in January. And Jeremy. Always friend of the show, always will be high on the list. Jim Ross, more than a few times, came on the show. Jim Ross, there's so many stand out. We had Vince Russo on 2 days after he quit WWE and went to work for WCW. And he came on and talked all about leaving WWE and how he was not under contract. And it was really, you know, it was really cool. We had Matt Hardy on when he was going through the whole breakup with Lita. And Matt Hardy came on, and we got mentioned in all of the things that the people in wrestling read, but no one admits to it, like the Pro Wrestling Torch, as well as the Observer, you know.
And Positively Page.
Yeah, Positively Page. We were on page 429, something like that. There's a mention.
What page is that?
I don't remember.
What page is that on?
I couldn't tell you, but
I'm sure he still knows.
There's two quick ones that I also two quick ones, and those guys, I love those. those guys. Love having announcers. It was great to have Gordon Sully on, Gorilla Monsoon at one time as well.
Wow.
But we had, in the same day, we had Steve Austin and Goldberg. And Goldberg was showing up in Akron, New York at that concert venue where they had the show where I believe Virgil showed up when no one invited him. And he was telling kids to go tell their parents to give him money for the autographs in the pictures.
And they're like, that homeless man just asked me to get money from you, Daddy. And then it's like 911.
But we had Steve Austin on early in the show, and then Goldberg called in from Akron, who hanging out with Jim Kelly at the time. But I gotta think Undertaker, getting a chance to interview the Undertaker when he was the Biker Taker was probably what the number one I can think of. And it was only like a 7-minute interview, but man, it was like nobody gets time with this guy. So on that note, we're gonna go to break, come back. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
We are Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Little MJF music. If you don't like MJF, I don't know. Murphy, what do you think about this guy, MJF?
I think he's a natural. I think, like, either you got it or you don't. That's an innate thing. Like, it's like, not to quote Enzo Amore, but you can't teach that. So it's like, yeah, MJF, sky's the limit.
I was going to say, and he just gave tickets to the Inner Circle this past week to go to Vegas next week for AEW. And, I mean, who can you know? I mean, I know, listen, most of those guys don't like him. Okay, listen, they talked about it last night. A lot of those guys don't like him. But you know what? It's free tickets to Vegas, man. MJF want to go, I'll go with him. You know, it's like, you know.
Is this how they bring Tyson back?
Oh, God, I hope not.
If they have like a hangover type of adventure in Vegas.
Oh, no.
Don't give him ideas.
I would love it if Sammy Guevara woke up with a neck tattoo and be like, oh, I don't want to be like Cody. You know, like that helps.
You know, you are onto something there, man. I would not be surprised at all if something like that happens. You know, it's perfect. And yeah, it would bring Tyson back in. I can't imagine Shaq coming in from it, but there's like big rumors now after last night or after this past Wednesday that Shaq's going to be back.
Wow.
And it's funny is that that comes out and then I hear WWE never wanted to use him because Shaq wouldn't get in shape. It's like, he's 7 foot tall. Do you need to be in shape? Was the Great Khali, I mean, he kind of was in a weird shape, but he was in sort of kind of a shape. So
well, he was shaped like a lowercase R.
Didn't Shaq also get in trouble with the Lakers for not getting in shape for a couple of seasons, and then he finally like lost some weight? There was something about that. Maybe it wasn't the Lakers. Maybe it was, I don't know who it was.
The best physics lesson I ever got involved Shaq. It's like 350 pounds of muscle weighs the same as 350 pounds of fat, and like he needed to turn it into muscle.
Yeah.
I guess the pounds part in that description really describes why they're equal. But, oh, man. So let's talk a little bit about wrestling. We're going to do some more reminiscing here in a second. But Full Gear was last weekend. Pretty wild pay-per-view. We had made some really bold predictions. I will say I did pick the man who took the belt from Cody. I think but everyone probably thought that anyways, you know. What'd you guys, Artis, what'd you think about the pay-per-view in general? I mean, it was a solid show.
I thought it was one of their stronger ones overall. I mean, for the most part, I mean, the buy-in match is really good. You know, Moxley had another one of those really tough, physical, violent matches. I'm hoping we get more of a wrestling match from him December 2nd now. But overall, I thought the pay-per-view was really good. Omega and Paige delivered, kind of the predictable result there. Women's title match, as expected, not that great. But I would put it kind of middle of the road in terms of all their pay-per-views. I really enjoyed the show, and I think they followed up with a really good Dynamite on Wednesday night as well. So,
yeah, I was going to say I was wrong with the order of the matches because we started talking about the Orange Cassidy one to start the show, and when in reality it was Kenny Omega getting to start the show. And Murph, you remember Kenny Omega back when we used to go to the Ring of Honor shows up there in Canada.
Yeah, Buddy Lembeck. He reminded me of Buddy Lembeck from Charles in Charge. Yeah.
Charles. Because he had the curly hair.
Willie Ames, but Willie Ames, Willie Miss. He Honestly, that match between Moxley and Omega reminded me of that match between Omega and, wait a minute, Kingston and Moxley reminded me of Omega and Moxley. And I don't, my one critique of that match would be, it was two guys doing the match they've always wanted to do. It was like Kingston doing Jun Akiyama and Moxley doing a CZW match. They got, they, some of that stuff they need a little better governor on because it feels a little indie-rific, but the whole show was all right. But going back to All In when it wasn't even AEW, you got to learn time control. Like when it goes over 3 hours, you lose me. Like I know WWE used to purposely do it, but if you, like, unless it's killing it, like you got to keep it tight.
True. What about you, Ferbs? You enjoy that show?
Yeah, I was able to stay away from most of the spoilers on Saturday as I was at a different show. But I caught up on it earlier this week, and I thought it was enjoyable. I agree with the Artiste. It's kind of like in the middle of a pack of their pay-per-views. A lot of it, to me, felt predictable. You know, probably the one match that I had no clue was two of the guys that are becoming my favorite in AEW, and that was Orange Cassidy and John Silver. Fans out there that do not watch Being the Elite, go out there and watch all that stuff on YouTube because John Silver is probably the funniest dude in that company.
What about Darby? Do you think you expect Darby to take that belt from Cody?
I did, and I was actually waiting. I said it a couple weeks ago. It was a different person taking the title. I thought Cody winning the title back from Brody Lee was going to kind of just be a transitional champion to whoever he was handing it off to next. I thought it was going to be Orange Cassidy. It ends up being Darby Allin, and I think this title fits him perfectly. You know, use these guys that are the up-and-coming stars, guys like Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin. I think MJF is probably past that now at this point, but guys of that stature who are going to be maybe in the mid card now, but look for them down the road. They could be the faces of that show.
I agree. And, you know, and it's a good thing too, is they, you know, they all showed up. They all did their best. Even the Matt Hardy match, you know, I mean, you know, it was on the Hardy compound and everything, and you got, you know, obviously the Hurricane Helms did not get rehired by WWE because he showed up on there as well.
My only issue with that match, and it was obviously probably done on purpose this way, but it felt too eerily similar to the match between him and Hardy on Impact or TNA, whatever it was at that time.
Yeah.
But it was most likely done on purpose that way. It wasn't bad by any means, but and you just felt like it was on repeat.
You got Gangrel showing up too, you know. I mean, though I don't know if everyone recognized him immediately. Maybe they did, you know. I mean, Gangrel, he's been the farthest from being in mainstream than anybody that was in that I'll call it movie or whatever, you know. But I know it was good. You know, it was good. You knew that Eddie Kingston wasn't going to win that. I think just because now they set up next week, we're going to get the number one contender versus the champ, and that's going to sell. That's going to
December 2nd.
Oh, I'm sorry.
December 2nd. Well, it's weird too because they apparently have just dropped Lance Archer getting his shot. So, they're just going right into this match with Omega, and was it a 3 week turnaround? Which is, I know their next pay per view is not till the end of February, but seems a little rushed. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of weird that they're going to do this big of a match on a Dynamite, like. I thought they would have built it up more for a main event and a pay-per-view. It is what it is. But the fact that once I saw Kenny win in the opening match against Hangman Page, it was almost kind of obvious that they were setting up Omega and Mox, you know, down the road for another match.
Yeah, it's. I'm sorry, you're right. I was looking at the show that they promoted Wednesday night for next week, which we get Darby Allin and Cody Rhodes tagging against Taz's guys, Pac versus The Blade, which that would be interesting. You know, of course, Pac came out and messed with Eddie Kingston last Wednesday. Orange Cassidy's taking on Kip Sabian. Now, you got two guys who, like, probably are going to burn the place down. I mean, those guys are both incredible wrestlers. And, you know, it's not like a giant killing this time. You got two guys about the same size as well. So it's going going to be pretty cool. And then the Inner Circle going to Vegas, which, you know, I'm sure, like, man, if we don't get a Tyson and tattoo reference now, they hope they're listening. Maybe they'll, you know, but they probably already recorded it for all we know. But you know, I don't know. And now they're teasing Shaq last week. Shaq, you know, is going to come in and take on Cody Rhodes. Or I didn't, to be honest with you, I didn't know who Jade Cargill was until very pretty, very beautiful woman last night. But it's like, I didn't know who she was. I was trying to figure it out the whole time.
And Brandy kind of saved that segment because it was stretching out a little too long there for a while.
But. Yeah, and nothing against Jade or anything. It just kind of looked like she was searching for words at some point. But I'm telling you, that promo that Brandy came out with, that was kick-ass.
Cool. We got.
They figured they needed.
They got to mention the bunkhouse match with Butcher and Blade and Dustin and QT. Like, I had somewhat expectations for that match. I was looking forward to that match. It blew it out of the water. I thought that match was unbelievable. All five of them in that match. The things that they did. QT Marshall doing an elbow drop off the top of a huge ladder. Pepper Parks, Blade, whatever. Like, bleeding for maybe the first time ever. Like that, just all the stuff they pulled out. To me, that was one of the best matches in Dynamite history. And Dustin Rhodes is what, 50, 51? And the stuff he's doing in that match, it was awesome.
That's pretty wild. Well, you know what? We're up against a break. I'm going to tease. I'll tease as we go to break. Last Wednesday, we got a new NXT, a new champion on NXT, and we'll talk about that on the flip side. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Cashman, I am joined by DC Dan Cole, Furby, Danger Boy, The Artiste, Murph, and Jay-Z. It's our 22nd anniversary. We've been on the air for 22 years. Thanks to you, thanks to Salvatore, and thanks to Soccer Sam. We couldn't do it, and we have got one segment left of this reunion show, and we're going to have to make something more of it than just this, but COVID-19 is dictating it's got to be the way we're doing it. I really much rather have everybody up here in the studio, but, you know, this is the way it's got to be, so it will be. But you know what? Doesn't mean once COVID's gone, you know, that we can't do this again or more often, so... But welcome back to the show. I teased a little bit going to break. We had a new champ taking... You know, I don't like when WWE promotes Johnny Gargano as the guy who loses his belt every time he defends it the first time. And then they bring out Leon Huff, whose name is written on the wheel of Gargano or whatever they called that. You know, it was like hand, it was written with a marker. And then Leon Ruff takes the belt from Joey Gargano. Which was great. And Furby, I know that you love that, especially when he put the belt on and he raised his hands up and the belt fell down to his
that was
his
so hilarious.
Yeah.
Next week he'll be Lightning Leanne, then he'll be King Leanne.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously he's a transition if Johnny Gargano isn't, I gotta think, or you know, but I thought that was interesting. It was a pretty good show, actually. I think we're going to see good numbers from both shows this week, you know, pulling in viewers. I mean, well, definitely it's not the 876,000 that the week before for NXT, but because of, you know, the promoting a former WCW pay-per-view, Halloween Havoc, as the title of the show. Was that 2 weeks ago? I think.
2 weeks ago. Last week they were both down.
Oh, that's right. They were both down. So
there was something that's going on in the country that had some media coverage for something.
Oh, that's right. You may have had an election going on or something, you know, something like that. You know, which DC and I wanted to call last week, and because we ran out of time, we couldn't. But we were gonna call it for Biden.
We could have been first, Cash. We could have been first.
We could have been the first ones to call it, but. You know, goodness gracious, let's go United States. But we got one last segment here to talk with Murph, joining us for our 22nd anniversary, in Jay-Z. And I was going through some news pieces. I mentioned earlier Impact's doing a special show this weekend. If you do subscribe to Impact Plus at 8 o'clock Saturday night, then they've got a pretty packed card. So it's like you got Brian Myers versus Swaggle, which is kind of weird. Is he mad at that dude or something? You know, it's like... I saw that's on the card, and it's like, but it's interesting. We didn't get a chance to talk about it last week, but or did we? EC3 is no longer with Impact Wrestling after he did one match with them. You know, he's now with Ring of Honor. He's bound to show up and do his first match. Ring of Honor's back to TV taping now, so that's a big plus. So Murph, you keep up with all the wrestling and with all the different channels. I know that it's tough because I mean you have to have Access TV to watch Impact, but it's one of those freebies that got thrown in for me, and I just keep watching it. But I mean that, and you know, but you got MLW, which is on YouTube. You got Power, NWA Power.
Yeah, boy, did that get strip mined lately between Eddie Kingston, Wade Barrett, Thunder Rosa. I thought that was like probably the best new conceptual thing in a long time, and I was really enjoying it. I'm sure they'll find a way. They're doing it with that prime time or whatever. But yeah, I keep up with all of it, man. Like. Sometimes like there's only so many hours in the day, you got to fast forward a little.
Yeah,
but it's sad because I don't feel like it's like being at a buffet when it's going from breakfast to dinner. Like you want to have all that good breakfast food, but you're saving room for crab, so sometimes you might miss some good eggs benedict. But yeah, man, no, even the stuff with Impact, that I know Jericho and Kenny Omega are big friends with Don Callis, but I don't like, I would be fine with AEW doing a World Cup thing with the NWA and Impact and
yeah, well,
MLW.
I saw Don Callis showed up on AEW, so it's like Don Callis, you know, the only time you see him really in Impact is when they're doing a pay-per-view or they got to go back to the, you know, if they're, you know, another authority in the back. But it's like, yeah, he shows up on AEW and it's like, I didn't realize that maybe he can. I don't know. I'm not really sure what the deal is with that. But
I feel like he has enough power to decide whatever he wants to do. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, he might have a
kid. There, so
he might have that kind of contract where it allows him to do, you know, things like that. But Don Callis, you know, I mean, I enjoy his commentary. He's kind of a goofball. He's a guy who introduced us to the Rookie Monster when we went to an ECW show in Buffalo at the Burt Flickinger Center, and he was walking around with Rhino, and he's like he introduced us to him when they were like walking around. No, this is before Rhino really showed up on ECW. He had been there. I think that was the TV tapings where he showed up. So
that was prime Don Callis in ECW. Like the stuff with in WWE, like you can, or WWF, you can look at it and go, well, it was kind of shoehorned in and a little weird, but that was, I'll put Don Callis in that year, 2 years as the network right up there with any kind of heel authority, heel manager figure.
Yeah, I would too, and he's a great announcer, and he's a fun announcer too. So it's I enjoy he does see the comedy in certain things, and he showed up on an AEW. So I don't know what that means. I mean, there's a lot of workings with everybody. You know, NWA working with AEW, sharing their champions, and you know, maybe this is what we got to do in this era right now. You know, just to keep the fire burning in a lot of these wrestling companies. I know that we got TV tapings for MLW or YouTube tapings or whatever it is for MLW coming up here soon.
Yeah, MLW Fusion makes its restart debut next Wednesday, the 18th. It's coming up. A lot of big names up are going to be there. I know Sean Daivari, Leo Rush is going to be there. So another promotion starting back up, which is good to see.
Yeah, Davey Boy Smith Jr., he's going to be there. Yep. There's a bunch of names that are showing up there. And then, of course, you know, Billy Corgan definitely says that NWA Power is still going to be a thing. So, and we're waiting to see what's going to happen with, even though they, you know, I mean, they are taping things right now because we had a title change for the women a couple weeks ago. That,
well, and then the Pope took the title and then the tag belts. I think he's a smart enough guy, even going back to, like, what was that in Chicago, that federation he was running?
Oh.
It wasn't Rev Pro, but it was he's a smart enough guy to do business, and I think he's a true fan and understands. Like, I think owning the NWA to him is like the model he wants to go by, and I don't think he minds his champions on other shows.
No, they get more exposure when they're on network TV, that's for sure. You put them on TNT, then people are going to recognize them more, I think. So, you know, and plus we get to see the best of what he has there too, because that's really all that he lets out. But man, we are coming up to the end of it, man. I appreciate everybody who's listened for all the time. I want to thank you guys, and I don't think this will be the last time that you were all going to share the Pain Clinic airways, because it's great to have Murph after 10 years. I swear it's been 10 years, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Time flies when you're Wang and Chong.
I did talk a couple weeks ago about how when we went out to the UFC out there at Buffalo Wild Wings.
And that's where I met Furby. Furby, did you listen to the show before you started on it?
Actually, no. I was pretty green when I made my debut. Maybe listened to the show once or twice.
Get this, Murph. I wasn't even here when he made his debut. I was down in Philadelphia doing roller derby stuff.
So really, as fun as this is, it is an honor to be here with everybody. I've only been on the show for maybe a year and 3 months, but I love every second of it, and I enjoy my time being part of the crew.
Definitely. Yeah, it's great to be back. It's great to see everybody not on Facebook or through the Fantasy League, so it's good to be here.
And Jay-Z, thank you so much. Jay-Z came a couple weeks ago, and that was a blast.
It's always fun.
Yeah,
I love it.
He's always proving each time we get him on again that he looks more and more like he just came out from underneath a bridge out of a refrigerator box. And but you're handsome. You're a handsome devil, my man. So
that's right. That's right.
On the inside,
the women wanna be with me. The men just wanna be me.
The good thing about Jay-Z is he's his own boss, so he just gets his own jerk sauce.
So we got to get out of here. I want to thank you, DC. Thank you, Furby. Thank you, Danger. Thank you, Jay-Z. Thank you, Murph and Rob. Thank you, Mr. Sanderson. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. We'll see you next week, folks. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Cool. So let's talk a little bit about some more history of the show. We did go into the Hall of Fame about, I think it was about 10 years ago too. We went was maybe a little bit less than 10, maybe 9 years ago. We went to the Rochester. Was it the Rochester Wrestling Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember because Dr. Love came to the induction ceremony, but he made me talk. He's like, you're going to talk after everybody comes out. It's like, what? What am I going
to? Remember, they wanted him to do a match?
They wanted him to what?
They wanted him to wrestle, remember?
They asked if he would wrestle, I'm sure, you know.
I'm pretty sure I offered to take the bumps, and a certain promoter wouldn't let me wrestle in his ring at that point.
Ah, that's right. And I remember I did commentary on the show, too, because Handsome Randall was like their commentator guy. And him and this other dude, and they were so bad that I came on and did a battle royale with I didn't know anybody in the ring. I didn't know any of the they're all trainee guys. I had no idea who any of them were. So I had to keep asking the other commentator, who's this guy? Who's this guy? You know, it was bad. It was probably bad of me to say I would have done it. But, man, so fond memories of the show. It doesn't have to be even an interview or not. Murph, you know what? I'm going to tell my fond memory of the show. My fond memory of the show is when we went to see TNA was in Hamburg, New York, and Joe C. was with us. I loved it. I miss Joe C. like a brother, too. I know he's down in Florida. Joe C. came with us, and we bumped into AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, and there was one other person in the car. I can't remember who it was. It might have been the Pope. At the gas station right outside of the arena, and we wigged out, and they got scared and ran off, you know. and then when they didn't know who we were. I mean, even though we had talked to every single one of them multiple times, but then we went to the Hamburg show and saw TNA, and Jeremy Borash like said, get in the line and I'll get you free pictures with these guys and everything. And AJ Styles was a champ then. So we got up there with AJ Styles and I said, AJ, that was us, man. It was all of us. I was in the ring with him. I go, that was us who freaked you guys out. Because you went tearing off. I mean, they just went tearing out of the freaking gas station after we were going, hey, it's those guys. You know, we were like,
And he's like, oh, if I knew it was you guys, I wouldn't have ran so fast or whatever. It's like Joe C. made a video of it because we were – someplace there's a video. It was – what was the video show you used to do?
I did a video of it. That's right. I have a video of the – I don't have a video of them leaving, but I do have a video of us meeting him. And he goes, oh, that was you? I think they locked their car doors to keep Joe from attacking us. I think that's really what it was.
Probably. Yeah, Joe was a but I just remember that. That was cool because we got to one. We got to see the full show. And not only that, but also when we were leaving, freaking Murph got a free thing of hot sauce from somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, crap on him. I'm setting you up, man. Crap on him.
my favorite guy, what's the guy's name? The Mosh Pit?
Yeah, like, Mosh. The Big Mosh.
Was he wearing his new jeans that day?
Yes.
Yeah, his new jeans. That was two separate occasions. That was at Coca-Cola, wasn't it? Where he still had the sticker on it.
Yeah.
I have that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah,
DC took pictures of that.
It's a good thing that kid's got a good opinion of himself because that makes one of us. But, I remember not shaking his hand because he'd be foul when we weren't there. And I don't know. I heard he had leukemia or something, so I hope he's doing okay. And if he doesn't, then I'm just confused. But I say that in no jest. But, like, don't come and try to give us some kind of my boss jerks off sauce when you're talking trash about us and saying we're number two. Like, I just remember he had Jim Molyneux on the show. He had Todd Gordon on the show, and he goes – once and for all, let's put this to rest about you being the mole from ECW. He's like, dude, I put that story to bed more times than I put my wife to bed.
There's
like,
the what picture. Are you
talking about? Like, he was the 25th guy to try to crack that story. And I don't know. That was kind of a Bush League show. And it's weird because I was on Pro Wrestling Tees, and I think you could buy one of their T-shirts. Like, I don't know.
I will say Big Mosh is still alive, and he no longer does wrestling stuff as far as I know. I know you're just like – he's like got into holistic health things, but
like butterscotch enemas.
I have no idea. That doesn't even sound good, you know. I mean, can you taste?
That sounds very unpleasant.
Boy, why have a flavor unless you can taste? You know, can you?
That's the point.
But he's got his jeans at Big and Tall. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't. Can you see Danny? Danny just had the picture. He showed the picture of the jeans with the stickers on.
Yes, yeah. that was some covert filming by DC. He caught that and he made hay.
Yeah, was that at a different time when he had those on? That was at the ballpark brawl, I believe.
Yeah,
that was June of 2011.
Yeah, that's when
TNA's ballpark show, because ballpark brawl is different. That was like that indie show.
That was in 2007, like the August of 2007.
That's right.
Started on the show.
That's the show that Matt Morgan came. And it was a TNA show. And I remember we got in the ring and got pictures with Beer Money.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I remember that. And I think Rob was working. Rob, were you working at TNA? Remember that TNA Ballpark Brawl show that was in Buffalo?
I wasn't at that one. Like, I worked the actual Ballpark Brawls, but I know I had something else going on during the TNA one.
I'm trying to remember when it was. I mean, it was like, I remember that's the one Jenkins got us into, where I sat outside until he came to the door and let us in.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and he yelled at me about it.
Oh, yeah. That kid in the middle in front of Kurt Angle is now like as tall or taller than Kurt Angle.
That's right. Kurt Angle's in that picture, too. Look at that.
He's wearing pants this time.
Yeah, and Murph's got his hand on Bobby Roode there in the picture. We're all scrunching together. That's what I liked about it. I miss about those guys is the TNA used to really give us like carte blanche a lot. And, man, I've never seen any sort of access like that from anybody ever. You know, I mean, I'm guessing if the AEW show would have happened here in Rochester, that may have – because we were set to talk with MJF before the show that day, I think. And we had all this stuff set up, and it just didn't work out, unfortunately.
When AEW finally comes around, I think they'll be good about it. I mean, their crew is pretty friendly and helpful for backstage and all that stuff, so –
Here's what I think with Impact. I think it was just like a victim of – it was like you hear about being in the right place at the right time. I think it was like the right place at the wrong time. I think if there was like two more years before Impact had started, or TNA or whatever you want to call it, it would have been a different story. Because you just look at like that show that airs on Tuesday where they show Impact's greatest hits or whatever.
Oh, I love it's that like show.
Yeah, it's great. And it's like a who's who. And with the accessibility and with the money that was there, granted, like they went through it like water, but like I just think that was the right thing at the wrong time.
Oh, I agree. And the thing is they were someone I was never scared to ask for anything. You know, WWE, on the other hand, I can't ask them for anything, you know. So, I mean, they always are very I don't know. It's just, they're not very warm to letting things go, you know.
They're so protective of their brand that they don't let their guys be themselves anywhere outside of, you know, their own personal lives. So it's probably why they try to manage as much of their activity involved with WWE as possible, which is why they did the thing with Twitch, which is why they control pretty much all their Twitter accounts, things like that. They're just very protective of their brand. And I think that's for WWE. They've sort of shot themselves in the foot because they're not letting people be themselves most of the time. And, you know, you do have some outliers like, you know, Xavier Woods with his YouTube stuff and, you know, things like that. But then for every, you know, one of those Xavier Woods, you have three things like what happened with Paige and stuff like that. So, you know, they have, it's just hard for them. And I hate that they're not so open to a radio show interviewing their guys because they'd seem more approachable. They'd seem more, you know, on our level instead of like being this massive machine that you can't even get access to.
Well, the thing is, they're fine with interviews, but they want to do them on KISS 106.7. Like, it's that whole, we make movies, pal. It's like, yeah, they think that's their audience, and they feel like anybody listening on HTK is already coming. They don't need to cater to them. They want, and guess what? That's all teen girls and, like, you know, soccer moms and whatever. I listen to pop music. I'm like, hits one and stuff. But I remember talking to the kid Stefan, who Rich knows, and it'd be like, we need interviews. And he's like, they're only trying to buy KISS. And it's like, that's a mistake. That's taking your audience for granted. And then Bad News Barrett would be up there, and he'd be reading Goodnight Moon for Jolo, which is awesome for Jolo, but like, he can't do a little 10-minute thing, you know? I don't know. It always struck me funny.
No, you make a good point. And it's like, and you know, I think that, you know, that I thought that they were warming up, because the lower you get in the numbers, the more you need the free publicity, the more you need that stuff. But that may not be the case, you know? I mean, when you're a public company and you're still making money, though, I think they do finagle their numbers a little bit to make money, to you know, show that they make profits. But you know, finagling their numbers means, you know, cutting 15 people in their company, you know, 15 less people you got to pay, so there's more money. But you know, I would hope they would warm up. I know that the contact that I used to have is not there anymore, so I could reach out to them someday. But it seems like the only time they would ever offer anybody is when they were in town, you know, when they were coming to town. Then they'd say, okay, we'll throw you a bone. The one time the last time they came to town, when Brody Lee or when Luke Harper was there, I talked to Mr. Luke Harper, and he said, you know what, I can do interviews now. And they had set up Cesaro to come on with us. And I said, hey, and Luke said, tell them that, you know, I'm from the town there. And and so I went and told them that, and they said, oh, well, then you can't have Cesaro either. You can't have him there. And then we got nobody. And that was like a real dick move by them, because I was just relaying because I know this guy. It's not I'm doing it because I want to ruin our opportunity, you know? You know, so I think they just don't like people who talk real stuff. They like people who talk stupid storylines, you know? And because when I had Kofi Kingston on, we talked, you know, all his Randy Orton stuff, you know? And that was when he was still talking with Jamaican accent, too, you know? You know, so, you know,
Did we see his first match in ECW? Was that at the arena?
What's that?
Or am I wrong? Kofi Kingston's first match.
You might not, I think you're right there, because I was there as a spectator, as a young boy.
Yeah, I think that was.
So we're talking about some really cool things happening. I went really off on a long track. What about Danger? What about you? Overall, the coolest thing, you know, and it doesn't have to be an interview. It can just be like something we got to do. And I know you went on the bus with ICP, right?
No. I got yelled at by Gabriel for not going on the bus because I was driving with you that night.
Oh, okay.
And she goes, "You left me with Andrew. He was no fun. We would have had some fun on that bus." And I have no idea what that meant, and I didn't want to find out.
Well, remember, they had that big bowl of pills there, so.
Yes. But, I mean, even right from the start, the first meeting, the first time I met Mad Dog, same with you, when Goldberg was signing autographs at the Holodome in Henrietta, or meeting The Rock because Mick Foley was late from lunch. That was a good time. When I took the equipment up and got a whole bunch of IDs up at Ring of Honor, and Samoa Joe threatened me, CM Punk was down to earth and hadn't blown up yet, and Paul London thought I was selling him insurance. that was a good time. I mean, it's just all of it. We always had a good time. We always had fun, except for when the Dudley Boys were involved. That was never fun.
No, they were douchebags.
ECW shows, back when we used to go to ECW shows and get all the access because we would just talk to people. And except for the last one when I drove home with the authority because we didn't get backstage access, so he didn't want to even go to the show anymore.
Ugh. Yeah. How about you, DC?
I mean, not to sound like a broken record, but hands down, my favorite moment, you know, going to that TNA event in Buffalo in June of 2011, and then literally for 6 hours afterwards, just standing outside a hotel in Buffalo, you know, drinking beers and watching JB bum chain smoke cigarettes off people.
Oh, yeah.
And just hearing these guys share stories from the road. It was unbelievable. I'll never forget that night. And then I don't for the life of me, see, I'm terrible with names. I don't remember the woman that was there, but I know Murph, you'll probably remember, like, where she's talking about how she, you know, she was a friend of all the wrestlers on the road.
Yeah.
And then anybody that would come within her field of view, she'd like go up to him and be like, "Would you cheat on this?"
Oh my God. Yeah. I remember that. She was that with us. She was with the dude. It was who was the dude? She was with one of the wrestler guys that would help set up the ring and break it down.
Zach Gowen?
No, it was. I can't remember.
Was it Baby Hebner?
Oh, it might have been.
I can't remember. I can't.
I know there was Hebner. There was Baby Hebner. We had Don West out there for a bit. Obviously had Jenkins. We had White Tiger.
He wrestled for 2CW, man. He was a guy who wrestled for 2CW.
Oh, he was Ivy Green's brother.
He said he was, but it was like it wasn't the guy. Was it the guy who tagged with he was a tag team champion with the big guy. What the hell is his name?
Ryback?
No. Who is the big bald guy that he works at the Planet Fitness?
Marco Stunt.
Vince Like?
What? No.
Punisher Vince Like?
Yes, Bruce Punisher Vince Like. He tagged with he was his tag partner.
Kevin the Man Graham.
Yes. It was Graham. Yes.
So apparently he cheated on that girl.
Apparently so. But
she wasn't having it.
No.
But then also, too, real quick, I'll wrap it up. You know, it was the same night, but it had zero to do with wrestling when we were inside at the hotel bar before they closed it down, which, you know, prompted us to head outside. There was this group of people who had no idea that, like, all these wrestlers and these fans were, like, sitting in this bar. And there was this idiot with this group of people, and they're starting laughing. Like, someone would say something at the table, and this dude, not being ironic at all, his laugh was like, and he just kept doing it. Finally, at one point, Murph turns around. He's like, "Is this a-hole serious?" Like, he looks at this table of people.
Yeah, people were like,
yeah, the guy had left the table. Merch, like, you're friends with this douche? Like, you tolerate this?
He's doing the Tony Atlas laugh.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, so, but the laugh would come back. We'd hear it every once in a while. Every time we were out with Murph, it was just still.
Every time me and Murph talk to each other, we cannot help but do that. It's like, oh yeah, it starts every conversation.
It's evergreen in our friendship.
Okay,
he would come in the front door at our house, and that's how he would introduce himself.
Now, DC, I thought you might have brought up the time we went out to lunch with everybody when they were in town.
And that happened. That happened a couple months later.
Yeah, it did.
We met them all at a Dinosaur.
Yeah, we got everybody more and more. We've got the infamous man who was the perpetuator of the screw job, you know, and his son, and Don West. Remember Don? Don West loved the place. We all went to the Dinosaur. It was great.
Well, it's funny too. It's like, here we are at Dinosaur. It's like, oh yeah, the barbecue's great. And then they're like, yeah, I want fish. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, sure, go for it.
What about this? They were trying to get a tow truck to bring the truck that had the ring in it because it broke down on the way there. The whole time they were on the phone trying to get the ring to the event, the arena, and it got and they were still setting it up when they were letting people in. I remember that very well.
Wow.
What about you, Mr.
That was also where Spanky was running around in a shirt, no pants.
That's right, no shoes too. Yeah, he had no shoes on. It was like,
and I got threatened by Abyss.
That's right.
Yeah,
above Fixers. Yes.
Artis, what do you have any memories that that blow your mind?
It'd be weird for me to just say no, but my memory's so bad these days that I don't know. I mean, you're going through a lot of them, and I mean, a lot of those, just those trips to different shows and stuff. I know there were some Canadian trips and some of the in-person interviews, throwing out T-shirts to the crowd or whatever at that Upstate show.
That was a lot of fun because they were building the cage around us they were trying to build a cage, I think, at that show while we were up in there, and I remember that.
Yes, the unfortunate incident anytime any indie wrestling company decides to have a cage match and it takes an hour to set up at the at the least, or CZW about 5 hours. So
I remember Tommy Dreamer was hanging out, and remember, was it X-Pac who was there too? I think X-Pac was there. It was a big anniversary show. I know that. And I remember we didn't get to talk to him, but I know X-Pac was there. We saw Dreamer. I know I talked with Dreamer for a while. So, but we didn't interview. We didn't tape or anything. We just ended up talking with him. You know, it was like, I just remember it was in that that place out in Rondacoit.
Oh, the sports arena.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I even just think about Midtown Plaza, and like, that just seems like a lifetime ago. But yeah. I mean, that building and getting stuck on like the elevator dying one day and all sorts of stuff there. I mean, that was back when you'd walk around the corner and see E-Man on the Nerve and stuff. I mean, times have changed a little bit. So
they had the smoking room over by the Nerve, across from the Nerve, the smoking room for him.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Jolo. Cause didn't Jolo co-host with him at one point?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Jolo did every Saturday morning.
Morning show.
Yeah.
Jolo still smokes. Well, I don't know if he still smokes, but when I was there, he'd be outside pounding heaters. They ain't coming into 110 knees, but like, I love Jolo. But like, did you guys go to that weird show where Chris Canyon was at the Sportsplex and he wrestled? I think he wrestled Brody.
He wrestled twice too. He was Mortis one time. Mortis. Yeah. And then, yeah. I actually interviewed him, and that's back when he had that open wound on his arm where you could, skin was pulled apart and you could see the muscle underneath it. And he's like, that's the doctor's. Wanted him to just keep it that way so it would heal before they would seal it back up. But yeah, he killed himself not more than like I think 6 months after that.
Well, that was the unfortunate thing, and he was really candid. I was doing commentary with two kids, like one guy was going to Syracuse University, and then there was like a little fat guy with him. I don't even remember who they were with, but like Delcor lined that up. And I talked to Canyon before. I'm like, is there anything you don't want me to say? He's like, go out and say I got more pink slips than J.C. Penney's. Go out and say I get fired more than a grill. Like, he had a million good lines and was in such good spirits, and then he killed him.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah. He just was had depressive problems. How are you, Jay-Z?
You know, you guys have so many good memories. One I can remember distinctly is we went to a WWE show. I don't even know whether it was. It might have been SmackDown. It might have been Raw. It was in Buffalo. It might have even been a pay-per-view. I don't remember. But we went there, and after the show, you had connected with JR. You wanted to connect with him and give him a T-shirt. So we hung out at outside the hotel, and he came in, and we gave him the shirt, and we talked to him, and then we went to the bar, not with JR, obviously, but we went to the bar around the corner, and Michael Cole is drunk as a skunk.
Oh, no, you froze up, Jay-Z.
Michael Cole just cut his cord.
Yeah. That can't get out.
It's introduced by Michael Cole.
That can't get out. Jay-Z, you're frozen.
Well, I can elaborate on that. Let's leave him alone. Do you remember you MAGA and Jeff Hardy going out and doing, probably doing somas allegedly? Like, what? Jeff Umaga got Jeff and they went out. And I remember I went and I tapped Michael Cole on the shoulder and it was like Benny Hill or something. He turned the wrong way and I was like, I'm over here. And then I turned the wrong way and he had two beers in his hands.
Yeah.
And I go, are you the guy that used to do wartime reports for CBS? And he's like, I can't believe you know that. And I'm like, yeah, it's on WWE. He was just that drunk.
He also, you know, it's freaking, he worked with Randy Gorman, who used to be over here. Randy used to be his boss over in Ithaca, I think. And
my internet dropped out.
Yeah, I was gonna say we lost you there. So you were just talking about walking in to the bar and Michael Cole was hammered.
Yeah, Michael Cole's hammered and he's holding court, and I think there was like a young lady that I think he was trying to get with or something. I don't remember. But we're sitting there, and it was really surreal. It was one of the first times I'd been, like, in this environment with the show. And I'm watching guys like Jeff Hardy and Umaga coming in, and they're eating wings. And just kind of seeing these wrestlers in their natural habitat instead of being, like, wrestlers. It was very, very surreal. And, you know, speaking of another person who's no longer with us is Umaga. But, you know, seeing him without makeup and out of character and stuff like that was kind of cool.
I remember I gave
Umaga. That's one of those memories.
Yeah, I gave Umaga the two 5X shirts I had saved for the Bundy guy who used to listen to the show, but he told me they were too small for him. So I gave them to Umaga. Umaga's like, you got clothes that fit me? That's great. And I gave him a couple shirts, you know. Yeah, he was.
Are you talking about Mr. Notre Dame?
Mr. Yes. No, super fan. Remember super what was it?
Super fat?
Mr. Big Stuff.
Mr. Big Stuff, that too.
Oh no, Mr. Big Stuff.
So
yeah, I'm going way back. Zalaman.
Zalaman. He was the manager of Barry Hardy, I believe. Or I don't
know. Yeah.
You know what?
Screw that guy. I know I've had my time, but real quick, can we talk about the house show we went to where we gave Big Show so much crap he came over to us?
That was great. That was what you know. I got that's when I struck
Michelle
that deal.
Beadle.
I struck.
Yeah.
Sitting next to Michelle Beadle.
I struck that deal to get front rows, and at one time we got there, and I think I was getting hammered. I think during the show. I'm pretty sure
you were all getting hammered. I was the only sober one of the group.
Yeah, and then the Big Show came over and started.
Michelle Beadle was literally lifting my arm by the elbow to make sure I kept drinking and didn't stop drinking. Most fun day, you couldn't be quiet. She forced you to chant. She forced you to make noise and stuff. And
she called me and she texted
you out on Twitter for being a creep.
Yeah, she texted me out for being a creeper. She goes, "This guy is a creeper." It's like, well, thank you, Michelle Beadle.
You know? Isn't that the show where she pissed off CM Punk?
She was with at the time, I believe she was with
Mr. Ziggles.
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler. And she was telling
me that came out was like flexing Big E flexing his pecs there. He's like, "Sup, Michelle?"
Yeah, she was telling me that her and her makeup artist and her hairstylist drove from Connecticut to the Blue Cross Arena to go to the show. And I don't know. I kept drinking. I didn't care because we had John Cena's dad on the other side of us. I think that may have been the show where he.
And then was this also the same night the Miz was giving you guys crap about Jeff Tool?
Because we were giving him crap outside about it. So, and he's like, Tool sucks, and he's laying on the ground. Yeah, there was you can't, you know, some of those close encounters we had. I wasn't there when you guys were singing the Bella's theme song, but
the look we got from the Funkadactyls was just awesome. I wish someone had it on camera.
Oh man!
Yes,
I think I was picking up
Cameron specifically. Yeah.
I don't remember who took the video, but when Daniel Bryan came out, I caught his towel, and I instantly turned into a 5-year-old kid. And I know one of you has the video.
I think I did. Yeah.
Oh,
that
man.
Might be on my Facebook somewhere. I'd have to look for it. Yeah.
Guys, I hate to call it closed, but I got Bob Matthews coming in here in like 5 minutes to record his Saturday morning show. So. We got to do this again, Murph and Jay-Z. And now that we've done it once, I think we can do it again. So,
well, I'm off on Thursday, so give me a call, and it's good to talk to everybody. And yeah, 9 1/4 years. That's a long time.
It's too long. And thank you, Danger. Thank you, Furby. Poor Furby had to sit here and listen to all his reminisce about 20 some odd years of before him of the show.
When we got to do it the court.
Yeah, I dream about those types of things.
So we had lots of opportunities, even when they don't seem like they come that often. Sometimes they'll come real quick, you know, and then they'll come rapid fire. Well, listen, I'm not.
That's a very good, it's a very good description for this group.
So we all prematurely. We're all premature. Guys, thank you so much. I got to run. Okay.